section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A TNA legend returns, a WWE superstar returns, and will Survivor Series be a bust? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. TNA is airing Genesis on Spike TV. Why are they doing this?
So they had a press release come out recently, and I took a look at it, and I gotta tell you, man, all it is what they did to, you know, that this past night on Thursday. They had Turning Point on there. There was nothing special about it. All it was just them naming a normal show. And so they're doing the exact same thing. The biggest question, I think, for this is I wonder what they're going to do for pay-per-views next year. Are they going to have four? Or, I mean, this was one of them. Or are they going to drop down to three?
Well, technically, they have to have 12 because they have to fulfill their obligations with the other markets, mostly Europe. But that's why they do the one-night-only pay-per-views, which are pointless. So then the fact that they're airing Genesis on Spike, I think, is stupid. But the only way I would think this would be smart is if they decide that, hey, we're going to run this on Sunday and they're going to make it like a real pay-per-view with commercial breaks, of course. And of course, during the main event, they'll, you know, cut to commercial because that's just how they do things. That would be the only way I'd say, OK, this is kind of cool, because then it would hype you up to, hey, let's buy these pay-per-views. But I think this is a bad move for TNA, but who knows? You know, the rumor right now is that one of the people who were considered buying TNA actually pulled out, which I thought was really interesting. And I'm wondering if that had something to do with it. But who knows? So Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards got a tryout for WWE. Are you surprised about this?
A little. So, I've been watching Ring of Honor recently. And, I've seen these guys wrestle. It doesn't surprise me. You know, look, Ring of Honor, that they are definitely the minor leagues. They really are. And so if you have the opportunity to go to a place like WWE, then absolutely you do so. And so they had this opportunity. I actually think that they're two of the better talents over in Ring of Honor. They're not, Michael Ellington or who's the world champion right now? I can't think of his name.
Adam Cole.
Yeah. Or Adam Cole, you know. Adam Cole, of course, is like the guy over at Ring of Honor, and he is just perfect. He would fit in well at TNA or with WWE. So, but as far as Davey and Eddie go, I think that they would actually do pretty well over there. They actually would do better though in TNA, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Mad Dog Vachon passed away over the weekend. Kind of sad news with this. Do you remember a lot? I don't remember a lot about Mad Dog, actually.
I don't either.
Yeah,
so I don't.
You know, and I feel bad, you know, saying that, but I really don't. But it's sad that he passed away. He is, a lot of people remember him. I think it was 84, if I'm correct, when he passed away. So he's been around for a while.
Well, that's when he stopped wrestling. You mean in 84?
I'm sorry. That's right.
He passed away, just recently. But right. Yeah, he was an AWA. He was one of the big time people there, big time players. He would be, equivalent of, I don't know, like a Honky Tonk Man or Ted DiBiase, you know, one of those types of heels. So, but anyway, Andy, you had posted something here about Hall and Roberts being scam artists. What was this about?
Okay, here's what's going on. And this is one of those things. They needed money for certain surgeries so they could try and get back into the ring. Well, the deal was that you would get either an autograph, you get a shirt, you would get a Skype call, a phone call. There's so many different packages you could have. The problem is that they're the ones running it. So they're their own secretary. So they're going through each and every one so far. And I think this ended 6 weeks ago, I want to say. It's been a while, but they've been going through and doing it. But some people are upset because they're not fulfilling their requests fast enough. But they filmed the thing on TMZ, got a hold of some information that they talked about, and they stated, listen, we're getting to you. If you have that much of a problem, give us your receipt. We'll just give your money back. One of those things. You know, it's really sad that some wrestling fans can't be patient. It'd be one thing if it was Scott Hall and Jake Roberts, if they had a big team of people and they're the ones running the show, they could probably knock it out in a full week. This is taking weeks to do. If you got an autograph, you got it. If you got a shirt, you already got it. They're just fulfilling the phone calls and the Skype calls. That's all that's left. And from
I don't see this being that big of a deal.
It's not a big deal, but to me, I think some people just need to be patient, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. Also, the one thing that I thought was really interesting is that Colt Cabana actually said that he was down at NXT. Now, there's no talk on what he was doing down there, but again, a CM Punk friend is down there again. You know, of course, Chris Hero was, and then he got released, and then now Colt Cabana's back down there. Do you think that they're going to bring him in as a commentator, or do you think he's just down there just to be down there to make CM Punk just a little bit happier before he signs his next deal?
And you know, it might be a little bit of both. Cabana, the thing about him, I listened to his podcast this past week. He had Stone Cold on there, and he's very personable. He sounds like a buddy. Plain and simple, he sounds like the type of guy that you would go out and have a beer with. He sounds like the type of guy you would want to hang out with. He sounds like he's a fun guy, and he's built his own brand, and people know Colt Cabana. I don't know him as a wrestler. I never really knew him as a wrestler. I knew him as someone that I knew had wrestled with him way back when. That's how I knew who Colt Cabana was, you know, 6-7 years ago. But now I don't think of him as that. I think of him as the podcaster who happens to also wrestle. And I think that he actually does a really good job, and he's built that brand up, and there's a lot of awareness there too. And he speaks with people who are very important. And actually, there's people that he spoke with that I think of them differently now. Michael Elgin, I did not really care for him at Ring of Honor, and I think I actually care for him a little bit now that I know a little bit more about the guy. The Miz, he spoke with him. Miz actually seemed like a normal person, and I really liked him. So, but I think that he could do a little bit of both. He could do a wrestler, and he could also be an announcer.
Do you think that if he announces the end of his podcast, do you think that means that he is staying with the WWE? Maybe that's something in his contract where he can't do the podcast anymore?
Absolutely. I think that there's going to be something in there that'll stop that, because they are a major company. They're not going to let just somebody, you know, continue on just because they can. Look what they did to Zack Ryder.
That is true. And they made Zack Ryder stop doing the show on his YouTube channel and had to go to the WWE YouTube channel. And then the show went downhill after that. But yeah, that's something sad. I could speculate so much with the whole thing with Zack Ryder. But anyways, do you care about Ryback being in the doghouse?
Not really. I saw that he did the spear and then the jackhammer. And so they were saying that, you know, he was, you know, in the doghouse for that.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, we got some decent news. So if you are a subscriber to WWE On Demand Classics, guess what? It ends in January. So does that mean the WWE Network is coming?
No. I'm going to say no. I don't believe. I think that we've heard so little about it. There's got to be something massive going on for me to believe that it is okay and that it is going forward.
Well, they are taping stuff for the network itself, but I find it weird that when people are asked about it in interviews, they're like, I don't know what's going on. And it's not just the low guy on the totem pole. It's the executives. It's like they don't know what's going on either. And they've already filmed what the old time wrestlers in the house. They did that thing. And that was taped almost 2 years ago, I think, now. And
it was a long time ago. Yeah.
It still hasn't aired yet. So here's my thing. If they're going to launch it, they're going to do it before WrestleMania. And in order to get people to get the channel, they're going to have to throw WrestleMania in with that package. And I think then they're going to have a huge spike in people getting it. But from what I've gathered, if you have like the highest package, we'll say with like DirecTV, it's going to be included into that. So it's not going to be your package plus, you know, like another $10 or $12 a month. Even though it would be realistically, if I had to pay only, you know, $13 or $12.95 or even $9.95 a month, and I got all the pay-per-views, I would actually be pretty happy about that if the only one you had to pay for was WrestleMania, because Royal Rumble itself is going to be worth it, you know, no matter how you look at it. And then if one of the other 10 pay-per-views are good, then it pretty much paid for itself. But, well, you know, we'll see if this actually happens. So let's move on to WWE program for this week. Big E, five, finally wins a big title. He beat Curtis Axel for the IC Championship. What did you think about this, Aaron?
Curtis Axel needed to get rid of that title a while ago. And I think that Big E is pretty deserving of it. I think he has the possibility of becoming a superstar there. He has the possibility of being a monster heel. I don't, you know, for a face, he's okay. But I think he could be a really good heel. That's my feeling on him. But I think that him having the IC title might actually open up some more doors for him. The only thing I don't like how the IC title is being used as this small stepping stone. That's why, you know, I don't want to get into a whole conversation about it. But if they had the European title back, you know, and then you had the IC title as being the actual, like, directly underneath the world title, then I think Big E having the Euro title would make so much more sense.
Yeah, I see your point on that. The weird part about Big E is that when he was down at NXT, he was a heel, and then he became a face because that's what the fans wanted him to be. And so he did this gimmick where it had to be a five count. I've said this multiple times. And I thought it was kind of interesting that if you looked in the crowd, people were throwing up the five. And I think he's been told, do not do that gimmick. Even though it would be kind of cool if he brings it back when he defeats Curtis Axel at Survivor Series. It'd be really cool if he brought it back then.
Yeah.
So Creed makes his return. I mean, I'm sorry. Xavier Woods makes his debut with R-Truth.
Are you talking about Arms Wide Open Creed?
No, I'm talking about, I think his name was it Conscience Creed?
Consequences Creed.
That's right, because it was Truth and Consequences. That's right. If you remember that from that's going back to TNA, but so R-Truth and Xavier Woods, they were attacked. Xavier, I thought it was Xavier. And my bad, Xavier Woods. We'll say I'm probably wrong. I usually am. Xavier Woods makes his debut and in a pretty decent match. But the weird part was when he came out with R-Truth, you're like, huh? I was more like, this is how he's debuting? Like nothing.
I was a little surprised.
First.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that too, but I actually liked him. I thought that he got a pretty decent pop, and I liked him. You know, as Consequences Creed, you know, way back when, I thought that he was a good wrestler. I think he was a X Division champion too, and he was a good talent. He really was, and I think that he could potentially do wonders in WWE. The only downside is I don't know what to do with him. You know, do you have him and Truth team and have them be in a tag team together?
That's what they're going to have to do, because I believe that this will be that next year, 2014, will be the year of tag teams. You can just put that on my thing for our predictions for 2014. But I think that's why he's in. Even though there are certain wrestlers that are still not been brought up, you know, basically El Generico, Sami Zayn being one and Paige being one as well, and Paige and Emma, those are wrestlers that should have been brought up months ago. You know,
yeah, but you can't flood the market, though.
You can't, but you would think that they should have done something with him. I mean, Xavier Woods, he debuts. You're like, all right, well, what was the point of him being debuting already? I mean, granted, there's nothing. He was written off all storylines down at NXT for, I think, a month and a half, if I'm correct. And then he debuts. Okay, that makes sense. I just wish that they would have done something leading up to it. I mean, they had the thing with him in the Big Show, and you would think that they would have done something with that. They mentioned it once on Raw, and then they stopped talking about him. That's where I think they messed it up. But it's great to see that he's back and looks like he's going to be team with R-Truth, which, of course, you know what's going to happen. They're going to break up at some point, lead to probably a crappy, you know, B pay-per-view show where they wrestle each other. But hey,
so speaking of crappiness, Andy, so Miz turned on Kofi Kingston.
Oh,
and I got to say, I actually the only thing about it that was like, well, why did you even team with him in the first place? You know, That's kind of my thought, because Miz was actually in the match, and then he tags out, and then when, you know, Truth goes to tag him back in, that's when he does his little and then falls off the apron, you know, jumps off the apron. I actually think that this is good. We've been talking about this for a couple months now, Miz turning heel, and I think it's good, but I almost kind of wish that they would have done it at Survivor Series like we had suggested that they do. I think this is a missed opportunity for them.
Yeah, this should have been a match at the pre-show. What they had on Raw.
Well, it is going to be a match at the pre-show.
But the thing is, they should have had the tag match at the pre-show, and then on Raw.
No. Don't turn somebody heel on the pre-show. No one's going to be watching the pre-show.
Well, you never
know. Turn it heel on the pay-per-view.
Or you can have it as the curtain jerker. You have him, you know, have that happen then. You know, yeah. And then it would be interesting. But I think they missed the boat on this one. But I'm glad to see that The Miz is now going to be a heel, because he is a better heel, hands down. What the crappy part, though, that I don't get is, why is there a 7-on-7 Divas match? Why?
Well, why not, Andy?
Well, the thing is, this match, that's probably going to be 3 minutes long, and that's including the entrances.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crappy part. There is no point on this besides the fact that they're on Total Divas, which, by the way, is going to be airing at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on the E! Network.
Mm-hmm.
Against the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run it that night at, you know, 11:10. No, you still have to keep the same, which I understand why you keep the same time slot,
Andy,
but come on.
Andy, how many people buying the pay-per-view are going to be like, oh man, I want to watch Total Divas instead?
Well, you never know.
Exactly. This is going to be a horrifically bad match. It's going to be on Botchamania over and over
again. Oh, are you kidding me? It's bad enough that, what is it, Brie or whichever one of the Bellas is calling her spots out, yelling it, you know.
But. Speaking of Botchamania, Andy, a limping Mysterio made his triumphant return on Raw this week.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The limping Mysterio comes out limping. Okay, so what was the point of him coming back if he's limping? But they kicked his music on, so then the faces had one up opposed to the heels, which that didn't make sense to me. So it was 7-on-6, 7 faces, 6 heels. Okay, I didn't get that part whatsoever. But it's nice to see Ray back, but you can tell that he is not ready.
Well, it's not that he's not ready. He needs to retire. You know what? He can have that one last big match, but he needs to retire.
Well, you know, let's see what Eddie Guerrero's doing. Maybe they can have one more match together.
Really?
I know. Really? I shouldn't have said that. I just remember when Eddie passed, because it was the day after I got married. As I've said the last 3 years on the show. Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite. Every web was a cost. Also, check out Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you're going to see a banner for WWEShop.com. They got some awesome deals going on right now. And if you want an excellent deal on some merch, they're going to have a code up there in the corner for you. And just remember that code, click on that banner, and you're going to save a bunch of money at WWEShop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week, returning to Orlando, Florida, in the new Impact Zone, formerly Nickelodeon Studios. Magnus versus Samoa Joe opened up the show. I'm sorry, technically Dixie did, but that was the first match of the night. And what did you think about the match?
It was okay. You know, I didn't think it was anything special. I kind of thought they would have put on a little bit better match. It was on free TV, so I guess you have to take that into consideration. But Magnus got the win, which that didn't surprise me. That was my prediction. I figured that Magnus was going to get the win. But I got to ask you, what do you think?
Here's my problem. Production. First off, production with this match. They pre-taped a fight. And then they, in order to say, for time constraints, because they're quote unquote live. And I do believe they did go live at first, but then they were able to shoot the show basically an hour and a half straight. They took like a minute or 2 minute segment. They taped that match prior to it. And then they go back out there like, oh, you know, nothing happened. even though if I'm correct, some of Joe's wrist tape actually came off. And then all of a sudden it's back on when they go wrestle in, the stage area. But whatever. The match itself, getting just to the match now, not the production. The match itself was, it happened. Why is it? And this makes me say, why is Samoa Joe wasting his time in TNA? Is basically how I look at it. That's the only way I can explain it to you.
I do agree about Samoa Joe. He needs to be in the world title picture, and I think that I really would much have rather seen him win and then actually have him and AJ Styles go at it. Have him win the title, because he said, you know what? If I win this, the first person I'm going to face is AJ Styles. And I think that mm-hmm. would have actually been better, but they went a different route, unfortunately.
Now, the only thing I could see with this, though, Aaron, is if they make it later on, have a thing with Magnus where he can say he beat Sting, he beat, he beat Samoa Joe, he beat all these former world, heavyweight champions. Okay, then I get the point, but realistically, I don't know why Joe wrestled him, unless that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess it's a wait and see thing, but they need to have a good program going for Joe. I think that Samoa Joe has been one of the most misused characters over the past 3 years. I really feel that way. Watching his career, it's just been stagnant. He has not been doing anything, and I think that's really dumb. So, Andy, the other tournament match that happened tonight, surprisingly, they did too. It was Robert Roode taking on James Storm, and this was a pretty violent match. At the start of the show, they showed off their Impact 365 thing, and they showed that they had a brawl in a bar. So Storm was already injured. And I got to point something out, too. This is something that kind of infuriates me.
A missed opportunity, you mean?
No. This is something that infuriates me that TNA does and WWE does. So I'm going to go on a small tangent here. And what they do is they have, hey, make sure you check out the Impact 365 thing. And then they go and they show you what you were supposed to check out. Well, why would I waste my time checking that out if you're going to just show it to me anyway? It's like WWE. It's like if you were watching WWE.com, you would have seen this happen moments ago. And then they show you what happened moments ago. It's like, well, you just showed me. So why would I want to, take extra time to go to WWE.com and watch this stupid thing twice? And I absolutely hate it when they do that stuff. It infuriates me. Anyway.
Oh, you mean the fact that they didn't build up this match because it could have been bigger than what it was? And they had the opportunity. No, they could have gone through the fact that, hey, James Storm, he was a champion.
Yeah, they had the vignettes, remember?
Yeah, it was real quick, though. They could have been building up to that. And then had the match instead.
They did.
Not really. I mean, on the same show they did. I don't remember it last week.
I think they had something last week, but it wasn't that big. But either way, so this was a bloody match. This is a really good match, I thought. What ended up happening, though, was, Roode was just giving it to James Storm. And it got to the point where Gunnar actually ran down and threw in the towel for him, literally. And so Roode ended up winning by that. Let me ask you, did that help out Storm or did it help out Roode more?
It actually helped both out because now they can build up another match that can have Storm cost Roode the chance for actually, going for the heavyweight title again. And they could actually have a real match and then say it's you could say a Hell in the Cell, or it could just be in a steel cage and escape rules do not count. And they bring tables in. They do the same spot where they bring out the barbed wire on the plywood. You could do that same spot again and then really have it happen. And then Gunnar can throw the towel in. It doesn't matter. Then that could lead to something. And then you'd want to see it because when this match first started, I kept thinking, I'm like, if there's a clean win or there's a win either way, as in like nothing happens, I'm going to be furious about it because this is a missed opportunity for them. But Gunnar coming down.
They've been feuding for a long time, though.
But it's been on and off. It's not consistent. It's not every week this is happening. They could actually do something where him and Storm, it escalates, and then they have the pay-per-view. Bam, there it is. They're going to have the pay-per-view at, well, Genesis is no longer. You say not lockdown, because that's not until April.
March.
March. So
yeah.
You can't, gosh, that's a long time to build up a feud. I mean, you, if you did it right, you could, but realistically, I mean, they could do something maybe in the UK where they say this is when the match is going to happen. And it could be an awesome match. But that match, actually, I would love to see them go 30 minutes. And I think it would be a very entertaining match and could be match of the year candidate.
Yeah, it could be. It really could. So so obviously, good match, though, between those two. And then the finale was Bully Ray taking on Mr. Anderson. And there were a lot of stars that were out there that were going to stop any shenanigans from going on. And they were going to allow it to be a clean match. It wasn't. There were still shenanigans to be had. And Anderson was able to overcome Bully and beat him. So now the Aces and Eights are no more.
Yeah, we pretty much called this, that this was going to happen, because why would Ken Anderson sign like a 3-week deal? But I was happy with the match when it was all said and done. I thought it was a good match. I thought everything that happened did make sense. I like the fact that he took Nux out. I was pretty happy about that. I like the fact that I wish he would have taken Taz out. I don't know why, but I thought it would have been cool. But when it was all said and done, I was happy that Ken Anderson finally won, because I feel that this is not what they're going for with Aces and Eights. I don't think this is what they're playing. I believe that they thought Aces and Eights were going to continue forever. Because remember when for some reason, dude, I felt that almost like to an NWO type style. But I do like the fact they ended. I mean, remember when we went a year ago and saw Impact Live, that was going on. That was I would almost say that was the height of the Aces and Eights at that time. That was because you didn't know who the guys were still, and no one was revealed yet. But once they started revealing people, it just kind of lost momentum. So the fact they finally ended this, I'm happy it's done. It'll be interesting to see what superstar comes out. I do believe it'll be Garrett Bischoff, but the match itself, I'm happy with it. I wish it would have been a little bit longer, though. I thought they cut the match short. I really believe that.
Well, they had to. I mean, TV time, you know, of course. But, you know, I want to say that I thought that TNA this week was really good. I thought that it was a really tight show. And I feel that they got so much done in those 2 hours this week that if you look at a week ago WWE, where they had, you know, 12 wrestling matches and they were all handicapped and tags and, you know, just really horrible matches, it felt like they just got so much more done. And so I got to say, I really enjoyed TNA this week, and I hope that they, you know, keep it up.
Do you think, oh, by the way, what did you think about Abyss versus Joseph Park?
Oh, dude, that was a really intense match.
Such a great match. Yeah. I was waiting to see what they're going to do with it, of course. Yeah.
They did exactly what I expected.
Now, do you feel that them going back to Orlando is going to be the right thing to do, since they do have some shows they are taping on the road still? They're going to do it periodically. I bet they do it. It looks like they're setting up for once a month they're going to be on the road. Mm-hmm. As in, like, taping on the road, which is a huge, you know, $600,000 is what it costs them out of pocket just to tape on the road. Do you think that if they just stayed in Orlando, because the fans came out there, by the way, and it was smaller. You could tell it was smaller, the way the camera movements that they used. And also, if you were ever at the old Impact Zone, they had, of course, TV side. They had of course, stands. And then I would call it where the wrestlers would come out the opposite side of where the ring, what do you call it? The ring entrance, I guess. The opposite side, they also had another set of stadium seats. That's not there. That's where they lost a majority of the crowd. But it looks like it's the same setup besides that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the fans this time around were exactly what they needed?
They looked pretty much the same, I thought. I didn't feel it was anything different. I think it's a business decision. And they looked at the cost and they said, look, you know, it's costing us this much to be on the road. We're not getting as many fans as we thought that we were going to. They didn't go to the best markets either. But that's beside the point. But they needed to go back. You know, that's what they needed to do. And I think that they made the right decision by doing so. And I hope that this also helps them out, because I think that this is something that they might need in order to keep going. People keep saying, oh, TNA is on its way out. TNA is on its way out. And they've been saying this for years and years and years. I'm not saying that they aren't, but I don't believe that they're going to be on their way out anytime soon.
Well, we have,
and I think this is the right decision.
And we have till December before my predictions, right? But it looks like I'm going to get this one wrong.
You're not going to get it right.
But no. Here's something that I think would be really interesting. What if when they are actually live in Orlando, the ratings are higher than if when they're on the road somewhere else?
That's not going to say anything, though. It won't.
To me, I think it would. I think it would actually state that, hey, you know, it doesn't matter where you have it at. Have it here. Have it there. You know, stay in one area and you can continue to build your brand. If you're making money and the brand is doing good, why, you know, crap the bed and do it? You know, basically, why break something if it's not broken? If they took Impact on the road, we'll say only on, we'll say not even pay-per-view, but only once a quarter, I guarantee you it would be like when they went to Chicago for the first time. It was a big deal because, oh my gosh, TNA's on the road. They've never been on the road like this. And then they sell it out. I believe you did something simple. Once a quarter, pay-per-views, everything's still in Orlando because it's going to save you a buttload of money by doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I hope they do it. I just hope that they don't. Oh my gosh, you know, we're doing, the ratings are so high now because we're in Orlando. We need to take this back on the road. I just hope those business decisions are not there. I'm just trying to figure out who is actually buying them, because the reason why one person pulled out is because they wanted everything 100%, and the company's not for sale, but a portion of it could be. So the memo wasn't lying to the employees, but oh. Okay. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.